Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Put our feet in the fucking water. Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good night, good dusk to good dawn. Welcome to the show tonight, today, tomorrow. We're talking about filmmaking and how it's traumatic.
Definitely. And there's no, we record this in a very secret place and we don't ever let anybody know what time it is. Heck, we don't know what time it is when we're recording.
Yeah, that's
very important that we have no idea because we don't want to be slighted or tilted towards the time. So we just talk.
Yeah, that's why we throw in every zone of time in the beginning because we want to make sure we're hitting it. And you might be listening to it at a different time.
We are on Greenwich Mean Time. What is that? GMT?
What?
I don't. I can't even say it, but that's what we're on.
Newt Gingrich has his own time zone?
He does. He does. It's very, very old. It's even older than myself.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Well, we got to do the shout-outs. I mean, of course, to stay alive and healthy, we need to make sure that we shout out to Tiffy Stallsworth, who is our patron saintess of the show.
Patron
saintess. Very, very good listener. She listens multiple times, I think.
Yeah, she does. She and she rounds the family up and makes them listen too, which is really nice. It would be nice. Yeah. You know, I don't want to tell Tiffy how to listen to the podcast.
Right.
But if she rounded everyone up, the whole clan, and they all listen to it on their own phones, it might boost some stuff up for it.
That would put us into a new dynamic.
Yeah,
whatever.
Because we're hitting all of them. You know, that's. I mean, yes. Tiffy, take it as it is. I mean, I
and they get about 20 kids in the family. I mean, it's like Tiffy and her husband and like 18 ragamuffins.
It's not that many, Jeff.
I don't know how many, but there's a bunch of them.
And
you got a bunch of people in there.
And I saw on our Facebook page that we know the person that's listening in Arkansas. So thank you.
Yeah,
sir.
What, do we remember his name? Because I remember he posted something.
I remember he posted something, but I did not remember his name. So
was it David Boyd or something like that?
Well, we'll
edit in like a false voice saying this, but we do know that there's somebody from Arkansas listening, and we're very happy you're listening. We will learn your name and make sure to announce it on the next show.
Oh, man, yeah.
But right now, you're Arkansas man.
I feel like we're actually alienating all the people we want to shout out. I'm a little afraid to do shout outs. I feel like we're just.
If we don't remember their names?
We don't remember their names. We're telling them how to listen to the podcast.
What time zone to listen to?
Yeah.
We got to bring up Vivian again. Vivian, we know your name.
That's true. We do.
So that's special.
Vivian, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you as always. I won't tell you how to listen to it either, but you could apply that same strategy to what I gave to Tiffy. So, I mean, it's just a thought.
You can listen however you want, and you can choose not to listen. Choosing not to listen is still a choice. We would prefer that you listen, but if you choose not to listen, we still respect you.
That's right. We do still respect you. But now that we... Oh, hold on. I have one more because they told me over the shoot that they listen to every single one. So shout out to Les, thank you.
Les,
yeah.
Les Murphy, one of the guys that's in almost every group he's had a part in. And he's an actor, musician. He directed a movie, wrote a movie. His kids have been in movies. Les is a good guy, a real sweet guy, and has been in many movies. And if you need somebody for your shoot, call Les. because he is very dependable and friendly, and you know, he's sort of tall. And
if you tune in to the end of the podcast, we'll be giving out Les's personal number, so just stick around for his personal information. Yeah,
we even and his alarm. His alarm code. We will be giving you his alarm code and his Apple password.
So just all stay to the end. Stick around and find out some personal information as we dive in and talk about how making a movie is traumatic.
Well, talk about your experience, because it sounded like it was a little bit on the sort of the just the guerrilla filmmaking style of work.
So we over the weekend I assisted directed in a film that Chris Bell had written and is directing. It's called What Dwells Beneath. We'll give it a shout out to Chris as well. And shout out to the amazing cast and crew and everyone that came and helped on that shoot. We shot this, and it's about, I can give a little synopsis. It's about like YouTube cave explorers, and they go into this, they find this cave and go into it. And then the cave, there's some spooky stuff in the cave. That's what I'll leave it up to. So we spent the past weekend shooting in a cave, and
there wasn't really permission to use the cave. We're not going to say what cave it was, right?
No, we're not going to say what cave it was. But as far as we know, we didn't know we needed permission. So
sure. It's a cave. It belongs to all of us, right? God made the cave.
God made the
for
cave
for all people.
Yeah. I mean, God didn't. Yeah. 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 So, the first day was from 11 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. So it was about a 13, 14-hour day. And then the second day was 9 hours, I want to say. And then the last day, like, it got shorter throughout the weekend, but, like, it was very long.
Right.
And a lot of it was in a cave. And it was just such an experience, and it's just kind of like I feel it just like really helped encompass the whole feeling of like, this is why you make a fucking movie, or this is like the camaraderie that you form while making a movie, especially with like long shoot days and like those conditions. It's just, it brings people together, and I feel like even someone on set was like, oh yeah, we're getting trauma bonded right now. So it's interesting. Like that, I guess that was, you know, like the part I wanted to talk more about, because I feel like it ties into the theme of our show.
Yeah. One of the wonderful things about community filmmaking, when there's no money involved, pretty much, there might be a little bit of money, but the money usually goes into special effects or something, maybe food, is that people are there because they want to be there. And so there's a camaraderie about it. It's just like, we're going to help each other out. And then, hey, you'll help me out the next weekend. And so in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been a lot of film productions going on, because there's a contest coming up at the our soon to be sponsor, the Knoxville Film Fest, is having a contest, and a lot of people are working on those films. And so a lot of people are working. So it's nice. I mean, people are helping each other out. There's a lot of people that are on different teams, and they just help each other back and forth. So it's a competition, but also I think people are fairly friendly in the community, minus a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, and there's a lot of out-of-towners that entered that too, though, right?
Sure, and we don't care about them, because we're unless they're listening to the show, and then we do care about them. We'd be glad to talk about their films on the show.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, there is that sense of camaraderie, and I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. I don't fucking care at this point. Correct me in the comments.
Camaraderie and commodity.
It's the same.
With emphasis on the come. Just pause after the camaraderie.
There we go.
Yes.
Because you're like in the trenches with each other, and like I guess I can describe it as like an army, a unit type feeling. But it was just a lot.
And there's
Go ahead.
There's a euphoria to that. Of you're working together, it's fun. If you're working long hours, you get a little stir crazy. But it's like we're working on this common goal, and we're like, people are like, there's not a whole lot of, in the film sets I've been working on, which, and I am not a professional actor in any way, but the groups I've been working with, there's not a whole lot of ego. It's just sort of, hey, we're here to do something, let's do it, and let's get it done, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it felt like on set this weekend. Like, there wasn't really an ego. Everyone was very much on it. They knew that we didn't have a whole lot of time, and we had to be at a pace. Let me say that. There we go. Because I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to think of the right word, but like, yeah, we had to keep like a good pace, and it was just for me, it was very tough just keeping up with. A lot of things is the first time that I've like ever assisted direct. I've only directed one other short, but I've worked on a lot of them. But keeping everything organized and keeping everything rolling and remembering this and remembering that and making sure we got this.
Were there any fatalities on your set?
No fatalities. No.
Okay. Well, that's always a positive. That would be incredibly traumatic.
Yeah. The cops did get called on the second night. And we spoke with
them. Oh, really?
Yeah, we spoke with him, and we told him about the movie, and the officer gave us his information and kind of gave us I'm not saying you can be here. I'm not saying you cannot not be here, you know?
Mm.
And they were interested about the movie and wanted, we're going to give them tickets and stuff to the premiere and all that.
Nice.
So shout out to them as well.
We love cops. Cops have never hurt anyone. That's just something I think we can all say, is that the cops always fight for good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's bait.
We love the cops. So if the cop organization wants to sponsor us, we'll be glad to spread their communist propaganda, their Stalinist propaganda upon the world. We love you, cops, if you're listening to the show. Yeah.
Their totalitarianism is totally rad. That's the new shirt.
We're two white men. We've never had that much trouble with the cops. it's the camaraderie, which is also good, but it's also the trauma of the long shoot, which is a lot of sitting around, a lot of making sure you got the right shot, a lot of repetition. A lot of messing up lines and having to reshoot, a lot of watching the shot and realize that something's going on in it that you need to reshoot it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, so the filming part is such a small part of it. It's a lot of it setting up the shot. A lot of it is practicing the shot.
Yep.
A lot of it is doing the makeup. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is resetting the shot or moving the shot. And so it is a little traumatic in the sense that you're doing quite a bit of sitting around, and you can't always talk because a lot of times you got to be quiet. So it can be a little bit of a mind game making a film, even on the level that we're making films. And it sounds like this film is on a higher level than some other films. And I know it had a small budget, but it's still a lot of sitting around.
It is. And that's like one of those first things I didn't realize about making movies was, I want to refer to them as movies because they're not on film. They're digital.
Yeah.
Movies. I don't know. I like taking away the pretentiousness of it, man. We're making a movie.
Yes.
That was one of the first things I didn't even consider or realize is how much setting up and waiting around and trying to get this right and get this right. And everything has to work together at the same fucking time for it to get this one
yes
fabricated, on the spot moment. It's
and there's directors that are a little more flexible with that, and there's directors that are very, very perfectionistic. And so while it might take one director 2 hours to shoot a scene, it might take one director 12 hours to shoot a scene. And so that is not a criticism. People work differently, but sometimes it can be very frustrating if you are in the background, for example, which is where I usually am, because you just don't do anything. You're just watching the same thing happen over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it can get a little bit exhausting.
Yeah, that's very true. And doing the same thing over and over again is very exhausting. And then, I mean, and like you mentioned, everyone has their own directing style. And I don't know, like, I guess it just really depends. Like, I've noticed that the more pre-production you can do when you're at this level, the more you have it kind of planned out. Loose enough to like go with the flow, but like a skeleton plan of what you're doing.
Yeah.
It just makes everything flow a little better.
I think the more planning, the better. And like, if you've got your shot list, if you've got your actors, a lot of the films I've been working on lately have call times. And so it's like they're filming, another group shows up later. And so it's not like some of the things I've worked on where everybody shows up at the same time and then they don't use you for 6 hours. Mm. And it's like, how about you just tell me to come 6 hours later so I don't sit here for 6 hours. So there was a lot of good planning on the shoots that I've been working on recently. Like, call times were different. A lot of the work had already been done. I was an extra. So you come in, you shoot your thing, and you're out. Yeah. And so that's respect for the people that you're calling in. And so I think if you're organizing, it makes it much easier for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I mean, but I've been on plenty of shoots where that's been the case. And I have done that to numerous of people numerous of times. And I don't mean for it to be a disrespectful thing. It's not the best planning on my part, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea we're going to get together and do stuff, but then stuff always happens. You left something at home, or somebody doesn't show up, or something doesn't work, God, or yes. It rains. I mean, it's always something.
That's when it gets rough, is when you have people drop out and you got to like fill in. You got to fill in the role with someone, and it's usually going to be someone that's there already. Like, the thing is like, you know, fucking, they're putting in a lot of work into trying to get everything together. And if you just kind of like say, hey, fuck you, I'm not going to show up, it's just very disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got an emergency, I get it, but you know, show up if you say you're going to show up. And I mean, I told you about this before we started recording. There's some shoots that I was like, I don't want to go because I'm tired. But I had told them I was going to go. So I took some cocaine and shot it into my eyeballs, and I went.
See, if Jeff's able to do a little toot to the eyeball and make it to these shoots. Eyeball toot. Just a little eyeball toot. That's all it was. It's just a little toot. You're not a prude. but if some, like, and if you, like, people communicate it, whatever, yeah. And if something comes up, a lot of people are understanding. Like, it's not like, you know, their fucking ass is on the line.
Right. And, right.
I mean, their figurative ass, in the sense of their creative vision, is on the line.
Well, it's just a lot of people put a lot of passion into these things. And so just show up if you say you're going to show up, unless there's somebody dying or something, or you're sick. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I think can make or break a set is the craft services. And craft services, for those of you who are not in the film business or crafty, is the food. And so sometimes craft services is a couple of bottles of water and some stale donuts. Sometimes craft services is a whole layout of stuff with sandwiches and donuts and cereal bars and coffee and Cokes. Mm-hmm. So one of the things people do when they're working with actors that are volunteering is they try to have some nice food for them or some nice things. And so that is something that is very nice when you have a decent craft services, because it makes the time pass and you feel appreciated and you can get your little snack and, you know, sit around and gossip.
Basically. The fucking chatty Cathy's. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I was really like and like happy about was I was able, we were able to have a good crafty section with different snacks and we had coffee running because we had like this canopy and a generator.
Yeah. It makes all the difference. And it, and your people feel appreciated a little bit. Mm. They're part of something and they're not starving to death.
Yeah. And, I mean, plenty of waters, too, which was...
Plenty of water. You always want water. Which because people's throats get dry.
And so, like, the cave was, like, down this trail and you had to, like, walk to it. So, like, we had to, like, pack a bag full of just, like, snacks and waters and shit like that. Because, I mean, there, like, those last 2 days were, it was all day in the cave. And it was a little disorienting, or at least, like, in, like, I know I could have taken a break and gotten out of there anytime I needed to, but I was very, like, just determined and focused to, like, keep it going, let the actors get a break if they need one, but, like, keep the steam ahead, which, right. Which I think paid off. And everything happened, like, perfectly for a reason. So
it was, and I think, you know, you're very going to be very proud of having worked on this. And so you put in quite a bit of hard work. Mm-hmm. You got some good footage, you got a lot of stuff done. And so when you look back, it's like, boy, I'm really glad I did that. Even though sometimes while you're doing it, you're like, why the hell did I agree to do this? Well, I'm in a cave.
It was fine. We got it. We did it just fine. It was okay. We didn't hurt anyone. And we cleaned up.
Oh, you cleaned up the cave?
Yeah, we cleaned up when we saw trash and shit.
Yeah. Because that's the right thing to do.
We were Samaritans with a camera.
You know, when you look back, when you're at the film festival or at the premiere of your movie, you look back and you're like, we had a great time. This was awesome. Even sometimes when you were doing it, you were like, I curse the gods that put me in this cave. But yeah, it's fun to look back on. We tend to sort of, this is a normal life thing. We tend to sometimes censor out the horrible things and remember the better things. Unless we're a bitter, angry person and then we just remember only the pain.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just entirely what you choose to remember of that memory. You know, and I don't know, doing the EMDR kind of like really like, at least for me, like I think about it and I think about like the conclusions I make with each session and like what I like choose from it or like choose to remember. Cause like, that's like the whole thing is like going back to that memory. It's like, I've now experienced a memory that was once just incredibly painful that is now not only that, but like four other emotions of just like very insightful, very like surreal almost. And just very like, what one little factor could have just like made this whole fucking thing go sideways. So
yeah. And EMDR, for those who are listening for the first time, is a psychological technique to deal with trauma. And, you know, it's almost like making movies in your brain. You're choosing what to zoom in on. You're choosing how long you're going to focus on it. You're choosing how you're going to perceive it. So are you going to look at it and be re-traumatized? Or are you going to look at it as something that happened and realize it's part of you and you are no longer in danger? And you can remember it without totally being traumatized by it anymore. And so it's like making movies in your brain and editing and directing how you're going to handle your trauma.
Yeah, that's so fucking weird. It basically is like, all right, here's this cut of this traumatic event. All yeah. right, here's cut two of it. This one we framed as a love story.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just like, I'm going to not let, the trauma is not your fault, but you are controlling how much you're going to let the trauma control your life. Mm-hmm. And so it's a time, it takes time to deal with trauma. And it also takes a lot of pain and sort of hard work. But you can get to the point where you're saying, like, I know this happened. This was traumatic. But in the ways that it was affecting me negatively, I'm not going to let it do that anymore. So right. it's still there. I'm just not going to let it control my work or my relationships or how I treat myself or how I look at myself.
Right. And the really like kind of fucked up thing is that your body doesn't know Mm-mm. when it's a memory versus when it's happening.
Yep. It's the same.
Like, yeah, it has the same reaction to a memory that it does to the actual traumatic event happening. So, like,
yep.
it's hard to not feel that pain and not feel the bad stuff with that, when, especially when your body is not able to differentiate between the two. And
that's the thing with trauma. And I think, you know, it stores in your body, it stores in your brain. And so, it's in your tissue. I mean, trauma is in our bodies along with our brain. And so our body has memories of the way things felt, the way things were, when things were happening, what was going on. And so it's a lot to sort of work through those things and sort of release them mm-hmm. and be able to say, I'm not in danger. This was a bad thing that happened, but currently I'm no longer in danger. And so I can move forward. I don't have to be stuck in the cycle of feeling like I'm in danger all the time.
Right. And that's why there's no such thing as like a bad feeling. There's yes. just feelings. There's good and bad feelings, but you feel something for a reason. When you feel an anxiety, that's your fucking DNA being like, hey, watch out. Predators around.
It's protecting.
Here.
It's protecting you,
and
it's primitive protection of I'm trying to take care of myself.
Yeah, so it's just interesting how like there's that, and I mean it totally makes sense because the body doesn't deal in logic, it deals Mm-mm. in feeling. It's where the heart is.
You know, if there was one thing we could get across, besides we're on Greenwich Median time, whatever that is,
yeah, we're on New
it's Greenwich. That feelings are not good or bad. Feelings are feelings.
And it's good to feel them.
And it's good to feel them. We are supposed to feel them.
Yeah.
And crying or anger are not bad feelings. They might feel bad, but they are not bad.
No. And like, it's been, and I guess like the weekend with filming that, it's like a whirlwind of emotions, of sadness mm. to happiness, to tired, to delusional, to exhausted at kind of repeating myself. But like, there's so much like joy when it comes into it. Mm. There's those little moments in between setting up a scene where you got this inside joke going and you're just fucking mm-hmm. reading it into the ground and it's never not funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those moments. It's, you know, that's almost like life. That little life is like a film set. It's boring. It's exciting. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's all those things together. You have to deal with all the different, the highs, the lows, and the majority of life, which is just pure boredom or routine or repetition. And you've got to be able to say that I'm going to be okay with life not being exciting all the time. Yeah. I can handle just sitting around and sitting in a cave.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to romanticize just these big plans for your life. Like, I'm going to travel here and I'm going to do this. And then I'll maybe do a presidency. I'll do fucking go to the moon after that. And it's like, man, as you get older, you realize there really isn't a lot of time. There is a lot of time, but there's not a lot of time. And then
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with just having a life that you're happy with. And even if that life is just like doing the things you enjoy doing, fucking playing video games or fucking reading books or whatever, whatever you enjoy. It doesn't, not everyone's life has to be this grand fucking scale thing.
And also living in the moment too. So like while you're on the set and you're waiting the hour or whatever, just being like, okay, so this is time. Is there something I can enjoy from this? Is there something I can take out of this? Because we are so in the future or the past where we have trouble just being and just allowing ourselves to experience what's happening around us.
Yeah, because when you're present in the moment, and especially on a film set, it's like a film set is nothing but capturing moments and being in moments,
yeah,
and witnessing moments. Like when you see someone give a fucking just like very heart-wrenching or gut-inducing or sadness-causing like performance, and like the whole fucking little crew claps and they're fucking blown away, and then they immediately have to just do that again. Like that's an amazing thing, and I think it just brings the best qualities and it brings the best version of people out of each other when everyone is on the same page, on at least not the same page, but they're like individual pages that make up the fucking book, and they're just together doing it towards this common goal. I love it. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the Insane Clown Posse that said, "All the world is a stage and we are merely players."
Yeah.
I may have gotten the source wrong, but the quote is a good one.
The quote, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just reflect. And maybe that's just our perspective on things, is that there's that mirror image. But I don't know. It seems very logical.
Yeah.
It seems like deep-seated in facts, but just because it feels like it's true doesn't mean it is true.
You know what would be fun, and I probably would get killed there, is to go, if I don't know if they do them anymore, but to a gathering of the juggalos.
The gathering of the gigolos?
The juggalos. It's the Insane Clown Posse. They have a music festival every year.
Oh, yeah.
They used to. I don't know if they do it anymore.
I always had this preconceived notion about the Insane Clown Posse is just like something I wouldn't like at all. And I've met a bunch of people that were former juggalos. Or juggalettes, or juggalays, were very nice people. And then when I finally listened to them, they just reminded me of Primus. So it's like they're the rap, they're like the Primus of rap, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and I mean, they were born with that makeup on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They came out insane. In the membrane. I know that's...
They were insane. They were insane and in full makeup.
They came out as clowns. That's how clowns are just born. A lot of people think that's makeup.
Yeah, it's not makeup.
Be surprised what things are actually real when making films. A lot of it is real.
You know,
nothing's fake.
Yeah, I would be immediately just taken aside and beat to death if I was at a gathering of the juggalos, but
I think
you could probably survive it. You think I'd be okay?
I think you would be okay, man. Like they're a very accepting community, from what I understand. Like it's very much like a individuality type of mindset of like, do what you want to do, don't hurt anyone, fuck authority. Like
that seems to happen at music festivals. Is there seems to be like a community that bond together and they're, you know, I don't know, man.
They're there enjoying, like, it's kind of like with anything in life, like, they have all came together to come to this festival to experience moments.
And they spray, like, Faygo? Is it Faygo they spray on each other?
They do. Yeah, and they say whoop, whoop.
I know a lot about the Insane Clown Posse that and I don't really know much of their music, but I know a lot about the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I mean, there's been a lot
more than I should.
There's been a lot of like artists that have played there, like they kind of be like, really? They played at the Gathering of the Juggalos? Hey, they have a very eclectic taste. What can we say about the Insane Clown Posse? I know one of them is wrestling for NWA again. Or
oh, really? Again, which is it, Shaggy 2 Dope or Violent J? Or I don't know their name.
Well, because like every great duo, there's always a tall one and a short one. So I think it's a short yes. one.
Okay, the short big one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't know his
That name. Might be Shaggy 2 Dope. If there are any, or if there are any Insane Clown Posse fans that know, or if the Insane Clown Posse is listening and would like to sponsor us, we would be glad to have you on the show.
That's right. There's nothing screams traumatic like a Gathering of the Juggalos.
We're not really an interview type show, but if the Insane Clown Posse wanted to be on the show, we would be glad to let them basically do whatever they wanted. To the show.
They can come on to the show and we can talk about their trauma.
Yeah.
Let them open up. Tell us what they're going through. What is life like in the clown shoes of the Insane Clown Posse?
Speaking of movies and trauma, I started watching a movie called Murder Size on Tubi because I watched the trailer and it looked like a really campy kind of 80s horror film. And I just want to state that it took me about 4 days to get through it, and it was the longest hour and 23 minutes of my life. And I've seen some bad movies, but this one is really, really bad and hard to watch.
How bad is it?
You know, there's some violence and there's some sex, but it's edited, and I mean, it doesn't seem like there was a script. It looks really, it's just bad. It's really, really, really bad. It has Ginger Lynn Allen in it. It's got some other unknown people. There's one guy that's a decent actor. Ginger Lynn Allen does okay. There's some nudity and then some violence, but it's not, it's just really, really bad.
Now, Jeff, I don't know if you caught on. I assume it's hard to tell what subtext is or cues are just by our voices. But I was kicking off our new segment of How Bad Is It? That's right. Everything is Traumatic's first fucking segment. We're ending it with something that is bad that we bring to each other. And
that's a brilliant idea.
And the other person shouts out, "How bad is it?" And we cue the rant. And looks like our
topic is that's worse. What we need to. That's so. Next time you'll have to bring something very difficult and traumatic.
Something very bad and traumatic, and you can say, "How bad is it?"
So if you go to Tubi and you watch this film, you were warned. And I can't warn you any more strongly.
Well, now
I was going to make it. I was going to make it through the goddamn movie, but it was tough. It was really, really tough.
So you didn't even finish it? It was like,
I finished it.
Okay.
I mean,
it just took you 4 days. I mean,
geez. It took me 4 days, and it was just like, it was so slow, but it was like, I'm going to suffer through this. I started it. I'm going to finish it. Look, but if you start it, you are warned.
Jeff, all I'm saying is it took Jesus 3 days to get out of that cave. It took you longer to watch a movie.
It took me longer to watch Murder Size. Yeah.
Than it took for Jesus to not even, for one, come back to life.
And two,
to move
the
boulder out of the way.
Okay. So this is a tough movie. I'm not sure Jesus would have made it through this. If Jesus had to watch this movie,
it would have taken
instead
him.
Of being crucified, he would have just said, "I'm not saving nobody." I can't make it through the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Nail me to a cross, but don't make me what murder size. That's what he would have said.
Just get the cross.
I mean, do the cross thing. I can't do anymore.
I can't do. So how would you rate Murder Side on the scale of PU to bad? That's our scale, by the way.
What is the low again?
The low is PU, and then our high is going to be bad, and then it's anything made up in between. That's our new loose.
I mean, it's if you could square PU squared.
Oh, good. No, we actually, we need a floor on this thing. So PU squared.
PU squared. I would give it my lowest. And I love bad 80s horror movies. But I do like a script. And some kind of, I mean, yeah. I don't even, this is not one of the things where you even want to watch it. Like, oh, it's so bad. I'll watch it and enjoy it. Mm-mm. No, it's mind numbing.
God, that bad. That bad. It's, I mean, you got PU squared. So, I mean, that's pretty
PU
low.
Squared.
That's pretty low on the charts.
So. And as a male or a female that is interested in watching nude women or gore, you think that's going to make it worthwhile, but it doesn't.
Even that was disappointing.
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
So where can the folks watch this at again? Tubi?
It's on Tubi. It's free.
Murder Side. Right?
Yeah, it's Murder Size.
Murder Sized. Yeah. Sized?
Murder Size. It's exercise and murder put together.
Murder Size. So
Murder Size.
You guys, this we're also starting like this movie club of the month thing.
Yeah.
So Murder Size is our first one. So you guys can ask questions about it in the comments for everything and we'll answer.
Yeah. If you watch it and you like it, please don't hang around me.
But tell
I don't
us,
want anything to do with it.
Tell us Let why us we're know. Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm watching it. Tyler and I share a brain. And so I have watched it so Tyler does not have to suffer through it.
But I may still take a peek. I don't know.
Well, you know, it does give me hope that if this is on Tubi, and apparently it's doing well on Tubi, then it's possible that some of the movies we're involved in could be on Tubi.
Oh, yeah. You can upload to Tubi. You can sign something up and get it on the Tubi, no problem. Just like you can with Amazon.
You know, I've seen a lot of 7-day shootout films. And this is worse than watching the 7-day shootout.
Man.
Altogether.
Yeah, but they make
doubled.
You watch like 20 goddamn films.
Yeah, but this is, you know, and that seems like endless and it's just like, when is it going to stop? This is worse.
You know what? And speaking on that note, I'm sure everyone listening is asking themselves the exact same question. And I'm here to tell you it stops now. It's reached its logical conclusion. Please mind your hands and feet as you exit the podcast. And
yes. It ends now.
It ends right fucking now.
We've said enough.
Jeff, any final thoughts on filmmaking? We talked a little bit about EMDR, and we mentioned, besides our new segment that I sprung on you, how do you feel about
it? Yeah, that was great. I like that. No, I think do what makes you happy. Be creative. Push yourself sometimes, even when you feel tired and don't want to do something. Don't have regrets. So if you feel like you're going to regret something, try to go through with it, and you'll look back later and say, "Boy, I'm glad I did that." Yeah. Unless it's watching Murder Size, and you will not be glad. You did that.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much share that sentiment. Just like the reason I even bring up making the movie this weekend was just because it made me feel like I was alive and something I love to do. And it was very therapeutic in a sense. And I'm always just very grateful for those opportunities and very happy to do what I do. So
creativity is always good.
Yeah. And on that note, This has been Everything is Traumatic. I am Tyler.
And I'm Jeff.
And as always, take care of yourself.